It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer Kent. For more than 3 years, the state of Wisconsin has been providing bottled water to about 1,500 residents in the town of Campbell on French Island because their wells are contaminated with PFAS chemicals.
But now local officials and scientists are exploring a potential source of clean drinking water for the western Wisconsin community, the deep Mount Simon aquifer that stretches across much of Wisconsin.
But the big question, have the toxic chemicals seeped into that aquifer? This month, researchers started drilling wells to determine the risk of PFAS contamination in this deep water source.
Lee Donahue is a town of Campbell supervisor joining us now for a firsthand look. Lee, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for the invitation to join.
Well, you've had this shallower aquifer that is the source of all these PFAS problems right now. What led to this research now on this deeper aquifer?
Well, a couple of things. There is a USGS installation here on the island that has been using that Mount Simon aquifer for a number of years. We know that it's PFAS-free. It's tested quarterly. And then also right across the river from us is the city of La Crescent, who has also been using that deep Mount Simon aquifer for upwards of a decade. And we know that it's PFAS-free. But we do continually test it just to make sure nothing's changed.
Now, we've got this team, I understand, drilling a few different testing wells at depths going from 85 to 400 feet in your community. Talk about this current status of this test. What are they doing? What are they looking for here?
Sure. So last year in February, the town of Campbell actually drilled a test well 500 feet into the Mount Simon, and we tested extensively at that time, so we knew that it was PFAS-free. This research team from UW-Madison, along with USGS and Wisconsin Geological Survey, is doing research to investigate the characteristics of the rock layer that lies between the contaminated upper aquifer and the deep non-contaminated aquifer. So these three new monitoring wells will allow us to sample at levels of 400 feet, roughly 200 feet, and 80 feet to see in the upper aquifer how the plume is moving and migrating, and then in the deep aquifers to make certain that nothing is getting through that barrier of rock.
So the hope is that, in fact, no, the PFAS isn't seeping down into that lower aquifer. The worry is, of course, that it might be. When will these tap drills figure out, when will we know what that spread looks like from the drilling over the last couple of weeks?
So far, we have never found evidence of PFAS in that deep aquifer. And again, the city of La Crescent does continuous testing. USGS property does continuous testing, and we've done testing on the test well, and will now do further testing on the 200 and 400 foot monitoring wells in that deep aquifer. But we have not found any. But part of the reason is this deep aquifer is part of an ancient river system. And because of that, there has been no human activity that has been able to migrate down those hundreds and hundreds of feet. And that's why we feel pretty confident that that rock barrier that's been there for thousands of years is really a very good protection between those two aquifers.
If we continue to not find PFAS down there, it looks like clean water. What would it take then to make this the source of water for the town of Campbell?
Sure. So we drilled the test well last year, and now we expect to drill a municipal well within the next 3 months. And after we continue to test that to make certain that it truly is PFAS-free, we'll start building out our municipal system from there.
Lee Donahue is with us from the town of Campbell, supervisor there, talking about their long-running PFAS problem, hopes for being able to tap into this deeper PFAS-free aquifer as a source of drinking water. Lee, when we're talking about towns, a lot of times we're talking about people with well water, and you're talking about a municipal water source. Would this be a change for your community coming together and having this one water source?
Absolutely. Everybody in the town of Campbell is currently on a private well. We are very similar to the town of Peshtigo, where people are on private wells. So moving to a municipal system is one way that we can guarantee that all of our residents will have access to a new long-term safe water source.
All right. Deeper well sounds to me like it'd be a more expensive well. What does the expense look like here?
Yeah, so roughly $200,000 to develop, between $200,000 and $500,000 to develop this well. And something that folks need to know is that there are other contaminants in this deep aquifer that needs to be filtered. So iron, manganese, and radium. But those are so much less expensive to filter that in comparison to PFAS, it's much, much less expensive. So we don't want folks trying to poke a lot of holes 500 feet in their backyard thinking that they're just going to be able to tap into that and turn on their faucet and have safe water. There are still things that need to be filtered out. But again, as a municipal system, that's one thing that's it's easy for a municipality to constantly monitor.
Speaking of money, a state news story I imagine you're watching pretty closely, this PFAS trust fund created in the state's two-year spending plan. Governor Evers signed that last July, but hang on, it needs a new law to say, okay, where is this money going to go? That's on hold. Disagreement between the governor and Republicans in the state legislature about certain laws on the how this is all regulated and enforced. Is this holding up some action for you? Were you looking at this as a potential pool of money for this deeper well or other solutions?
Absolutely. I think every PFAS contaminated community in the state is looking toward that trust fund as a source of at least partial funding for whatever their solution is going to be. And I want to point out that there is already a mechanism that was approved years ago, potentially decades ago, and that is the Safe Drinking Water Loan Program. The DNR already has a mechanism of how they authorize and prioritize communities for water loans based upon nitrates or other emerging contaminants. So really, the mechanism already exists. It's just a matter of the fact that Joint Finance Committee needs to authorize that mechanism, which is tried and true, to be applied in this case.
Have you heard anything from the Joint Finance Committee suggesting that there might be progress on that funding solution?
Unfortunately, all of my conversations say that this may not be taken up until the next budget session, roughly a year from now. And folks can't wait. We're in a health crisis. We can't wait another 6 months, another year to access money that was bipartisanly approved.
The Department of Natural Resources has been supplying bottled water to a good chunk of the town, 1,500 residents, as we mentioned. This is going on for 3 years. Just give us a taste of what that's like for people having to deal with this water, using it for, as I understand it, just about everything that we might use tap water for.
Yeah, and let me just clarify, that's roughly 1,600 households. We have 4,300 residents in Campbell. So imagine manipulating big, heavy 5-gallon jugs that have to be in a climate controlled area. Otherwise, they'll freeze and break during the winter. And you have to, you know, physically manipulate this heavy thing for all of your drinking and your cooking and watering your pets. Folks here don't garden for the most part in their backyard anymore, simply because we know that that shallow aquifer, which our garden hoses are tapped into, is contaminated.
What do you know, Lee, about the sources of contamination in Campbell and on French Island?
Well, the city of La Crosse has taken responsibility for one section of the town of Campbell, which is due south of the airport. But history shows that there are numerous activities by the airport that really include the entire perimeter of that property. And we believe that is what's responsible for the contamination here.
Lee, I'm kind of by nature maybe a pessimistic person. If I were in your shoes now, I guess I'd be trying not to get my hopes up too much that this problem is going to be solved soon. Are you more optimistic than I am? Are you feeling like, hey, there might be some light at the end of the tunnel here?
Oh, I'm the eternal optimist. And I do believe that not only will we see a municipal water system in the next handful of years, but in my lifetime and in my neighbor's lifetimes, they'll be able to reach over to their tap and turn it on and actually put a glass underneath it and be able to safely drink it again.
And briefly, Lee, when are you hoping to see the results from this test drilling to see what the PFAS flow is looking like underground?
Sure. We anticipate doing sampling within the next 30 days. And then, generally speaking, it's about a 30-day turnaround with the state lab here down in Madison.
Lee, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Lee Donahue, a supervisor in the town of Campbell on French Island. Local officials and researchers there are testing a deep aquifer in hopes that it could be a source of clean drinking water for residents. This all comes 3 years after PFAS contamination was found in residential wells. And hey, if you are living in a community with PFAS problems, tell us your current state of affairs. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org.
And this is Wisconsin Today. You're tuned into the new WPR News station. And thank you so much for joining us. We have a one-day member drive coming up next week, but you can help right now.
Get a head start. When 500 people give before that one-day drive, a group of generous current members are going to donate an extra $10,000.
WPR is more than a radio station. It is a public service to the people of Wisconsin, and your community, your contribution fuels our commitment to this service.
Give to WPR right now so that everybody around Wisconsin has access to high quality journalism and to meaningful conversations. You can help us meet this pre-drive goal when you give right now. Do it for you and for all of Wisconsin.
Yes, join in now ahead of our one-day member drive. You can give at wpr.org/donate. That's give at wpr.org/donate.
You may have noticed a couple few changes here at Wisconsin Public Radio. A lot of thought, a lot of work went into these changes. By people, not me. I didn't really do much. I helped out a little bit. A lot of work went into this, and I hope you are appreciating what we're doing now, trying to give you the best service we can. We can only do that because of support from people like you through the decades, the century we've been on the air. Give right now at wpr.org/donate, and thank you so much.